Good morning, everyone. Bright and early on Wednesday morning, the day after the election, we started a conversation about what is the future of the Republican Party, looking at the numbers both in Congress and in the popular vote for president. It would appear that there's some urgency for Republicans to figure out where they go from here. And we started that conversation with Kevin Williamson, deputy managing editor of the National Review, and he joins us now to continue the conversation. Kevin, thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
I guess the headline is this meeting of 20 key Republican officials, which convened in Virginia yesterday to talk about the future of the GOP. Can you set the scene a little bit? Where was the meeting? Who was involved? And is there actually a leader of this committee?
Well, this was at Brent Bozell's house down in Florida. Brent is a fellow who runs an organization called the Media Research Center, which monitors for bias in the media and is in sort of a general conservative activist. And the people down there are a number of Republican leaders, guys like folks from the Club for Growth and Americans for Tax Reform, those sorts of organizations. And there are kind of two conversations going on, I suspect. One's about the future of the Republican Party, and there's also a conversation going on about the future of the conservative movement. And those are related conversations, but they aren't exactly the same conversation.
Well, the future of the Republican Party is sort of the the question posed to conservatives of how they will acquire power in Washington, although some have said that the GOP or the conservative movement has been very, very effective in maintaining an influential, almost shadow government in Washington, regardless of who's in the White House. Is that going to be sort of reinstated here?
Well, I think conservatives understand that winning elected office and exercising government power isn't the only way to get things done. I mean, we do believe that we have better ideas and that our ideas are things that can inform policy, whether you have Republicans in power or not. You know, if you think about what conservatives have actually achieved in the last 15 years or so, a lot of the most important things happened during the Clinton administration. You know, we've got important trade liberalization, we've got welfare reform, we got the WTO, some other things like that.
So is that on the agenda? Man, we got to have a guy like Bill Clinton back in the White House.
Pardon me?
Is that what's on the agenda at the meeting? We got to have a guy like Bill Clinton back in the office?
Well, no, I don't think that's it, but we do have a guy like Barack Obama, and we don't only have a guy like a Barack Obama, we have Barack Obama coming in, and we're going to have to figure out ways to work with him if we want to get stuff done.
And do you think that that is realistic, that given this atmosphere, that Democrats and Republicans can actually work together?
Oh, sure, I think so. You know, Republicans are going to come into this a little bit beaten down, obviously, after having taken an electoral defeat like they did. But Obama is a pretty smart guy as well, and I think he's going to come in to government trying to operate in a bipartisan fashion and trying to operate also, I think, in a modest fashion. I don't think he's going to come in and try to enact the most radical parts of what his most radical supporters would like him to do immediately. You know, Bill Clinton found this out, George W. Bush found this out, that you can go into the White House talking whatever sort of talk you talked on your campaign, but when you're actually there, things change rather quickly and events make a big difference.
Kevin, you mentioned that conservatives are you personally feel, and it's shared by some conservatives, more comfortable being in opposition, that intellectually it's a better platform to make the sharpest criticism. If the Republicans, for some protracted period of time, are in opposition now, who do you think is likely to benefit from that? Which electoral individuals do you think are going to rise to that occasion and excel and maybe raise their profile in opposition?
Well, I think already right now you're seeing two people emerging this week as people who are going to be really new leaders in the Republican Party. That's Eric Cantor, who will probably become the new whip, and then Mike Pence, who will probably become the new conference chairman. And, you know, these are two both, you know, very smart, conservative, articulate guys who have been in this business for a while and know how to operate in the political markets. And I think you'll see guys like that beginning to emerge as the most important new leaders within the party.
Kevin, I can't believe my co-host hasn't already asked this, but what are you guys making of all this Sarah Palin news that's coming out? Like, she spent, you know, $100 billion on clothes, and she didn't know that Africa was a continent, and you know, that stuff's rattling around. Last night I was at a party here in New York, and that's all people were talking about. I mean, what are you gonna do with that stuff?
Yeah, I'm not so sure about the whole, you know, Sarah Palin storyline. You know, we've seen things like this happen before. I'm not sure that I'd be surprised personally, even though I kind of like Governor Palin, if she emerged as a as a real, you know, national leader in the future for various reasons. You know, George W. Bush got the same sort of thing where he was, I think, unfairly and intellectually dishonestly painted as being, you know, sort of a dunce and a guy who didn't know much about the world. But he answered that by winning his election. You know, Governor Palin didn't. And I think that is what really makes the difference.
Kevin, let's talk about some of the practicalities very quickly. When you take a look at the numbers, 59 seats lost in the House in the last 2 years and many seats lost in the Senate, who is going to be in charge of the plan to try to mitigate some of those losses 2 years from now?
You mean who's going to be in charge of trying to win the elections next time around?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, the House has its electoral committee, the Senate has its electoral committee, and they'll do the things they do. You know, the losses, I think, have to be put in perspective. I mean, the Republicans essentially have gone back to where they were at the beginning of the Clinton administration. So this is, I mean, it's a setback, but it's not, you know, it's not something of huge historical proportions. I mean, it's a real loss.
Historically, I mean, the Republicans roared back in 94 after that setback in the Clinton administration, beginning of the
Clinton administration. Well, yeah, and the Democrats have now rolled back since their setback of a few years back. I mean, you know, these things are cyclical. They come and go.
Well, let's keep the conversation going, all right, Kevin?
Okay.
All right, okay, we got to leave it there. We're going to go to the headlines with Femi. Okay, but Kevin Williamson, thanks for joining us, Deputy Managing Editor of the National Review.
Thanks, Kevin.